Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
There we go. We're recording, damn you.
Ow. Damn it. Son of a bitch. I stepped on my cord and I tried to stand up and hurt myself.
I stepped on my cord.
By the way, did you see the voice of Martin Prince is dead?
I did.
That's kind of depressing.
I posted on Twitter. I posted the summer wind
comes blowing in.
At last,
I'll be the queen of summer. I mean, king.
Yeah, well, I mean, she was 75.
Yes, and yeah, she's been wearing, you know, what's her name? Mitzi Taylor. I don't remember what it is, but
I think Missy Taylor.
Or I think it's Mitzi.
Mitzi, maybe.
I don't have it in front of me. So I don't
know. She was responsible for many of the voices of the cartoon characters in my formative years.
Yeah. Well, yeah, she's been doing that shit for years. I think she was like the original voice of Minnie Mouse.
She's been Minnie Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
She has been Minnie Mouse for a long time. Her husband actually did Mickey Mouse, but he died about 10 years ago.
Yes.
She also did Huey, Dewey, and Louie, and I believe Webbigail.
I think they were all the same. Yeah,
I know she did Huey, Dewey, and Louie for sure.
Yeah.
And then she did Martin Prince
and Sherry and Terry.
Minnie, Sherry and Terry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those are the only ones I know is from The Simpsons, so. Yeah. But the
spring forth, burly protector, and save me.
Here's a hint. Put a leaf of sage in your boot, and you'll have what I get.
My oatmeal raisin roundies.
My insulin. No, that's Ralph.
Ah, welcome to the world of geode, fellow explorer.
My geode must be acknowledged. That's another one I do. I was at Wisconsin Dells all week, and you go to every shop in Wisconsin Dells, and they have geodes. And I was like, Diana, my geode must be acknowledged. And she's like, it was funny the first time you did it, not the eighth.
It's going to get funny again, though.
It will. It'll come back around.
They come around. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the, what is it, there's like a repetition rule of humor where, like,
rule of three.
Rule of three, is that it?
Well, rule of three is the amount at which it peaks funny.
Mm-hmm.
However, is that if you keep beating a joke to death, eventually it comes around to
it loops
funny.
Back around again. Yeah.
It takes a way long time to do that.
Yeah, Family Guy does that.
Yeah, Family Guy does that very excellently.
Yeah. They do like this isn't funny anymore, and then they do it again, and you're like, all right, that's funny again.
Or they stretch out a joke to the point where it becomes
Conway Twitty.
Yeah, like Conway Twitty just goes long. You're just like, this is ridiculous.
I actually heard, I don't know if this is just hearsay or an actual story, but apparently the Conway Twitty scenes are... When Seth MacFarlane and Fox would argue about content from an episode, and they'd be like, you can't put this in the episode. Like, there's no way it's not going. He'd be like, okay. So he would cut whatever that sequence was and replace the time with Conway Twitty because Fox had to pay money to use Conway Twitty. So they had to license, they had to pay some amount of money to use Conway Twitty every time. So every time you see a Conway Twitty joke in Family Guy, it's replacing a joke that Fox wouldn't let on the air.
Yeah, I could see that happening.
It's pretty funny. But because it also, Family Guy is non sequitur humor.
Mm-hmm.
But even that cut was like so bizarre. Like usually their non sequiturs are like a setup and a punchline. Like they say like, oh, this is like the time I met Mahatma Gandhi, and then like Gandhi's like, here's your hamburger, sir. And they're like, ah, ha, ha, ha. Like this is just randomly like, here's Conway Twitty, like out of nowhere. That story, I don't know if it's actually true over hearsay, but it makes sense.
Well, I mean, it's not, I wouldn't say that the joke is a complete non sequitur because it's a kind of a takeoff of the old hee-haw. Hee-haw would do that a lot. They would just tell a dumb joke and then be like, here's Conway Twitty.
Yes.
You know, and that's kind of how it would go. I don't know if you ever watched Hee-haw.
I've never watched
Hee-haw,
no.
I did. It was syndicated. I think it was, I want to say it was on PBS.
I didn't start liking Cowboys until I was a lot older. I hated I actually detested Western stuff when I was little. Like, and I think it was all because of Hey Dude.
Yeah, oh, I loved Hey Dude.
I hated Hey Dude.
All those chicks were hot when I was like a 7-year-old. I wish I remember this. I can remember the rhythm. I can't remember any of the lyrics.
All I know is, hey, dude, because that's as far as I'd get before I change the channel.
No, but the I was not a big comedy and a cowboy guy or a country music guy, but I love comedy. So anything that was supposed to be remotely like a sketch show, I'd watch. And yes, I watched Hee Haw because of that. And that's where I learned a lot of like how to do bad jokes and like really overact on stage, which is my forte.
Your forte. So,
yes. Yes, on that. All right, so welcome to Game Classy. I'm your host, Joe, and with me is always my co-host, Conway Twitty.
She broke my heart and took my dog. All I got left with me is my Christmas Yule log. That's right, this is a sad Christmas cowboy song. My wife, she done me wrong. I took this present under the tree and opened it up because it was labeled for me, and it was a pile of poop. That's right, my wife boxed a pile of poop.
Smell it. I think we got something there.
It was good.
Yeah. Game Classy sings the non-existent Christmas hits.
Yeah, the non-existent country Christmas, yeah. Country blues Christmas hits.
Yeah. Oh, hell. Is it Joe doesn't remember the words to Christmas hits. Without you. yes, the Game Classy country western jamboree.
As you is. Know Donner and Blitzen.
We were, I was just saying, we were up in Wisconsin last week, and so when you're up in Wisconsin, okay, weird local
Christmas in July.
Weird local references for people. Wisconsin, there's a law that says microbrews can't sell out of state. So if you're a microbrewery in Wisconsin, if you make under a certain number of bottles in Wisconsin, you can't sell out of state, right? So they have a beer that people like. It's called Spotted Cow. It's whatever, but usually it's a nice thing to get if you have to buy some gifts for people. You get them a couple bottles of Spotted Cow because they can't get it anywhere else. So I loaded up my trunk with like two cases of it, and I was like, all right, Diana, it's Smokey and the Bandit time. And so I turned on the Smokey and the Bandit soundtrack as we were blaring down the road in southern Wisconsin, ready to cross the border into Illinois. And I was like, this is the greatest moment of my life. And then my wife was like, we're not listening to this anymore. I can't listen to country music with you.
That's good.
Yes. So that was my run across the border. I did go to Noble Knight, though. We did stop there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What did you think?
I mean, the shop is gorgeous.
Did you see and or purchase the sealed first edition Dungeons and Dragons?
They did not have it there when I went. Somebody must have bought it. They did have a couple cool older things that I was like, I really want to buy this, but
someone definitely bought it when I last went there, that was a prominent piece for sale.
Yeah.
Like this is.
Sure they probably. It probably is not as. Ultra rare. It's rare, but it's not.
It was sealed. Ultra rare.
Yeah, I mean, if it's sealed, that's
it was sealed.
Pretty
sealed first edition. Unique. It's pretty rare, even in Wisconsin. That's pretty rare.
I mean, that's my problem with Stranger Things. Is the more I watch it, the more I'm like, how the hell did these kids in the middle of bumfuck Indiana get a copy of first edition Dungeons and Dragons? Let alone even know what Dungeons and Dragons
pretty
is.
Pretty sure those advanced Dungeons and Dragons though. I don't think it was first.
It?
Yeah, I think they were playing advanced.
When did AD&D come out?
Well,
I used to know this off the top of my
head. Because it was D&D, then it was Advanced Dungeons and Dragons, then there was Advanced Dungeons and Dragons 2nd Edition. I think Advanced Dungeons and Dragons 2nd Edition was like 83?
Let me... I'm going to do some fact-checking really quick.
Because he had the Red Box starter set. So that's what you got to look at.
Yeah.
The Red Box starter set is when that came out. Because I'm pretty sure that was the Advanced Dungeons and Dragons set.
You are correct.
83?
No, I'm just saying that was the box set.
Oh.
Version history. I gotta see. I might cut all this because I really want to know.
We're both looking for it on our phones.
Yes. Red box.
Let's see. So the basic set.
83.
All right. Yeah. See. So there you go.
So I guess yeah. But I mean, in 2 years, like this is 1980s Indiana though.
But they're like, really close to Wisconsin.
That is kind of true. I find it weird. Like, how did these little kids find out about it? Like, you know, Dungeons and Dragons was a little bit more.
I mean, it was at the comic store in the town.
It gotta be.
It was absolutely in the comic store.
Well, yeah, never show a comic store. I think that might be the problem. As I have that,
they
disconnect.
Never show where they get their shit.
They never show where they get their shit. Right?
There should, you know, there should be a comic store in that show.
There should be, shouldn't there? It would go to the what's it called?
The small town thing.
No, what's the movie with the vampires? Were they with the Frog Brothers?
Oh, Lost Boys.
Lost Boys. Because yeah, they have the comic store in Lost Boys.
Right. And, you know, that's where they meet the Frog Brothers.
That's where they meet the Frog Brothers. That's what I'm saying. It's like, that should be in that show.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they do, you know, because in the season, I don't know if you watched this season or not.
I have. It was fantastic.
Yeah. It was
pretty good. Really, really liked it.
But the...
I disliked the first season, and then the second season, I was like, well, that was much better than the first season. I kind of liked that. This season, I very much liked.
Yeah, the...
Although the ending made me so mad. Yeah, I was so salty. I was like, come on!
I mean, it made sense.
It made sense, but it still made me salty.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it made sense in terms of the reality of the show,
right.
The show producers. But yes, you have the that one girl likes comics, at least. She shows Wonder Woman and all that stuff.
Right, right. So then that would have been an easy setup to like just establish that that's where they get their nerd shit.
Yeah. Like have them come in there and be like, hey guys, Oriental Adventures is in.
Yeah. Nah, dude, at that time that would not the 80s comic guy, they wouldn't be that like,
no, he wouldn't be that mouth breather. He would be a tall older dude with a ponytail,
yeah,
like kind of balding, probably likes to wear Hawaiian shirts,
yeah, and he'd be like, hey kids, how's it going, what are you guys looking for? Like he wouldn't know what was going on.
No,
he'd be like hey guys, oh, you're those dragons and ogre kids, right? And they're like no, it's Dungeons and Dragons. He's like, oh, all right, well, I think I saw one of the new books, but I was putting away the Superman comics, so...
No, I think he'd be the one who introduces them.
You think so?
Yeah, he'd be like the one, like, hey, kids, you like adventure?
You like Satanism?
You like Satanism?
Like,
yes, I do.
I am a fan.
Wait. So you're saying is that in Satanism, I don't go to hell?
No. That's stupid. Only Christians believe in hell. Yeah, only Christians go to hell.
All right, let's do this. What do I gotta do?
Let's get it done. Yeah, that was
cut to me holding a rabbit, like sawing at its neck. And yeah, no, we didn't ask you to do that.
That was one of the things that, like, when my eyes were opened to a wider world of faiths and stuff, I did not realize that, like, yeah, basically it's only Christians who are like hard on for the hell thing. And I was like, huh,
yeah.
All right, then.
There's versions of it in other. Yeah.
But none of them are like the Judeo-Christian
version. No. I mean, Shintoism has a hell.
But you don't stay there forever.
No, you don't.
You pay off. Yeah. Like, it's like you're spending 1,000 years in the hell of needles.
Yeah.
It's going to suck ass, but you're there for 1,000 years. That's the penance you're paying. It's more about like penance and redemption than.
It's like 1,000 years. That sounds a little extreme. Are you just throwing out numbers now? Maybe I am. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
2,000 years.
Yeah, now it's 2,000 years. And an extra 1 year in the prison of upside-down thumbscrews.
That's my fetish.
That's why it's only 1 year. We know that.
That's all right. You crazy Onis.
Get out of here.
Get out of here. Get out of here, you talking umbrella.
Yeah, and then, that's what I noticed. I was like, only people obsessed with eternal damnation are Western Christians.
Once you get into, like when you learn about Shintoism, you're like, oh, Pokemon makes sense now. I get this.
They have Yokai Watch. Yokai Watch is straight up that. It's like, it's just the spirits of everything.
Yeah, you're just like, I get it now. Japanese people are silly. I'm not saying that Western people are any better. I'm just saying it's silly.
It's just everything as a spirit. That's all it is. It's really simple. It's not complicated.
And the big red ogres, the Oni, have penises. Big penises.
Well, there's a lot of genital action going on. Well,
of course. Who wouldn't? All right, let's get into some gaming stuff. We've been talking about nonsense for 15 minutes.
With genitals the size of donkeys and emissions the volume of horses.
Yes. I also have watched, was it Porky's 2? Let me make that reference.
Do they?
I think it's Porky's 2.
That's really funny. I've never seen Porky's.
Porky's, it's a classic. In the long history and tradition of Game Classy, after we put out a podcast, generally the day after they will drop the big news. Games Workshop at least does this. They drop the big news. And this time, after last week, they announced that the Warcry pre-orders went up. So we got to see all of the Warcry stuff. Yeah, it's an expensive...
Cry for war!
It's an expensive box set. It's probably the most expensive one they put out.
Yeah, it's expensive, but it's a lot of stuff.
I mean, it's... starts off, it's at 170 or 180, yeah. I think it is. I want to say that that's the most expensive box set they've put out. I can't think of any other expense.
Outside of, like, the Apocalypse-specific ones?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, yeah. Let's say the model set. Because, yeah, there's definitely more expensive, I think, single models out there. Not many, but...
Well, I mean, there were some of those crazy, like, giant Apocalypse box sets.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The Army sets.
But, well, yeah, the Army
definitely the most expensive starter set they've
had. The most expensive starter they've ever put out.
I don't think it's that by that much.
I think it's, like,
60 bucks higher than the most expensive one that I can think of. Which, I mean, that's not insignificant.
Well, I mean, I think the standard box sets now are like, the starters are 120-ish.
Yeah.
And, like, the two-player box sets are about 160.
Okay, so it's not that bad.
It's still kind of expensive for a starter. I mean, because the whole point of the starter is to be cheaper so that people buy into it and then have to buy the more expensive stuff afterwards.
Well, I think that's actually probably future-proofing the fact that this game doesn't expand like a normal game.
Yeah, probably. I mean, so...
So they actually have to, like, not price the starter to move, so to speak?
Yeah, so the you get with the box set, you get the two starter warbands, you get the animal dudes, the
huntsman.
The huntsman.
And then the iron golems.
And the iron golems. You get, I think, 10 figures in each starter, right? You get the runes, which, and
the terrain is terrific.
Yeah, you get a terrain.
There's a huge
and you
amount
get
of terrain in there.
You get a mat.
Yeah.
Which is, like, a 2x whatever mat.
Do you know if it's is it paper or is it polypropylene?
It's going to be that, like foam core.
Oh, okay. So like an in the middle. All right.
Yeah, because that's what they did with.
There's a couple 40K starters that have that mat.
Yeah, the kill team one that I picked. Yeah. That I got the kill team rogue trader.
Those aren't bad. Those are pretty good.
No, it's all right. It's not my favorite, but it's double sided.
Better than paper.
Yeah, it's better than paper. It's double sided. It comes with the big terrain set. That's terrain set alone is probably going to sell for $100.
That terrain is sick.
It is sick as all hell. And you get all the cards and tokens and all the rules and all that fun stuff.
The one thing is that the warbands are $50 a pop.
Mm-hmm.
And,
which is kind of a little... Well, I mean, you get 10 guys in the set, so...
Well, so this is basically what it boils down to. Like, if you wanted to play the game, it's financially unreasonable to play more than, like, one or two warbands because they're not self-contained. Like... You actually need, like, so if you buy the starter set, and you want to play Iron Golems and the Huntmasters,
yeah.
You need to also then buy two sets of those separately each.
Really?
Because there are options. Because it's not like Mercs where, like, you have, like, this is your warband.
Oh, you mean, like, five. Swapping out weapons and shit?
Right. Because you can take different stuff, and it's points-wise. So, like, to give you an example, the Iron Golems, their full warband... Without any modification, is 950 points. The game plays at 1,000 points. It's just an odd, like...
That's weird.
That's weird.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. So, what you really need is you need to double or triple down on your warband you're interested in.
Well, also, I mean, with that as well, I mean, 950 points straight up. I mean, if you customize them and add some different weapons, it probably would raise the point cost. And you're also supposed to add some of the animals that they have, because they have two sets of animals. They have those hawks, and they have the other ones that are coming out as well. I think in the box set you get, I think it's 20 random encounter animals, but you could also add them to your warband.
I'm sure you could make 1,000 points out of the Iron Golems if you did modification, but I'm saying is like stock,
yeah.
Without like buying additional sets, they don't make a full 1,000 points. So you basically just need to like pick one or two warbands and just go for that, which I think is fine. Like and the reason I say it's fine is because it's not like Kill Team and it's not like Shadespire. Like if you're playing Shadespire or you're playing Kill Team, you have to buy everything. You have to. You don't have a choice. Cause even if you don't want to use a single one of the models in like the Orc Kill Team box set, they come with cards that are only in the Orc Kill Team box set that you can use with other things that aren't just that Orc Kill Team. Warcry is not like that.
No.
Warcry is like if you like you do not need to buy a single like poison serpent guy. You don't need to buy a single one of those models if you do not want to play them.
Oh no, I'm gonna buy every box set. I might actually just do like one like focus on one. That's what I do with War Shadespire. I mean,
if you're doing 1x of each, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, with Shadespire I buy every set for mainly for the cards, but also I like that. But I'll only really focus on playing one warband throughout like the season. So like this season I play Briar Queen. Because I was like, you know what, fuck it, I'm just going to play with the Briar Queen. It's a great warband really fits my playstyle. So that's the one I really focused on playing with. And but I have all the other warbands. I paint them on occasion when I'm kind of bored and I'm like, I'm going to do something fun. So
yeah, I'm interested to see what the other non Warcry specific factions are after they go past it. Because like I was kind of underwhelmed by some of them, because like the Stormcast one seems pretty good. Like they've got a lot of like variety, but like the Nagash one is like Necromancer, Skeleton, Graveguard.
That's it. Yeah,
that's it. That's what you have. It's just kind of like,
I think playing outside of the six specific warbands is going to be a mistake. I mean, granted, yes, it's you got your guys. You could have fun with them and do whatever as long as you're playing. But I think that the game's going to be designed around the warbands. It's kind of like Age of Sigmar. It's like every once in a while, an old army will do something fancy because of some loophole or something that got changed around in the FAQ.
Usually using them with a new army.
Yeah, but you got to use a new army in order to be competitive.
The Night Goblins will likely be. It's just the number of options. Because I don't know. Because right now it like. Obviously, it's a little early to be speculating, but like there's a couple guys who had advanced copies, so they've played a lot of games of it, and they're like, right now, as far as the game is designed, everything we've seen, there's no reason to not just take the cheapest leader and then literally spam the cheapest troop you have, like, period. Like, they're like, that's the way to do it.
God, I hate people who break games.
And he's kind of, he's like, we were trying to do this and that, but like, just bring more guys. It's a new game from. I was talking to Joe about this, not you, another Joe, obviously. And it's just like it's a new workshop game, so there's going to be a lot of problems for the first maybe full year, and then after about a year, the game will be really good.
Yeah,
that's just because I know that for a fact, because Games Workshop's internal playtesting group is so small. Like, it's like six guys who are just like, I don't know, let's play games. It's like, okay. And, like, they produce functional games, but as soon as it hits the hive mind, it breaks. Because people are like, people take the things and Magic has the same problem. And Magic has a huge internal playtesting team. And they still run into the same problem because there's no way you can't compete with the hive mind. Because, like, within a day, the internet at large will find something broken that none of your guys even thought about. And they're like, oh, shit, you're right. They're like, oh, damn.
We should write this into an FAQ and publish it 4 months from now.
Yeah, they can fix it. But that's the thing. They can fix it. So, like, it's nice. And with Warhammer specifically, I'm not too worried about, like, super broken games because they don't exactly have a bunch of, like, cash prize tournaments.
Yeah.
So it's not there's not as much feel bad when you're like, ah, that's kind of busted. Because if you're just playing Warcry, I could just be like, oh, yeah, don't play with that guy.
Yeah.
Like, it's really easy. He's like, that guy? Don't play with that guy.
Don't play it. He sucks.
Yeah, don't play with that guy. And it's like, everyone else? He's good. Like you have the Warcry night, and he's like, hey, Joe, it's your first time at Warcry night. You see all these dudes? They're real cool. You see the guy in the back kind of off by himself? Don't play against that guy. He'll ask you to play a game. Say you already got another game scheduled.
Yeah, but yeah, it looks great. I'm a little on the pissed off side about the mausoleum terrain that they put out, if you saw that as well.
Oh, they really want to rebox that terrain as much as possible.
But here's the thing is like, so it's $100 for that, right? Which is not terrible because it comes with a playmat, it comes with all of the graveyard terrain and the terrain cards. Because that's actually something that I really liked about the game, was that you get a little terrain pack of a terrain deck. And all you do is you just flip, you pull out the card and it says, this is how you set up the terrain. And this is your mission.
Yeah.
Right? That's great. That's perfect. That's exactly what I want. You know, Bolt Action back in the day used to have a rolling system where you'd roll off and then that would tell you what mission you're playing. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's great. That's all I really want. But this makes it a little better because you can have stacks of cards and you don't have to worry about rolling off and like being like consulting a chart. Mm-hmm. Oh, I rolled a six. I got to roll the six again. Okay, I rolled a four. Okay, I'm going to go over to four. It says that.
The new terrain generation rules in the General's Compendium are awful. Yeah. They're atrocious. No one is using them. They also make gnaw holes impossible to be deployed.
Yeah. I was going to get into that in a second. We'll get into that. But the so it's like you got to roll multiple charts and you're just like, I don't. This is fucking complicated. Yeah,
I'm a bigger fan of. I actually really like. I really like how Mercs does their terrain, where it's like you either have like the mat and it's just like this is the terrain on the mat.
Are you playing Mercs again?
I have not picked up Mercs again, but I'm thinking about it because
you mentioned it twice now.
Yeah, so well, kind of like... that's why because Joe was talking about like getting back into Mercs, and I was just like, I don't know, maybe. I'm like, I haven't touched it since first edition because first edition wasn't very good, and he's like, oh, I'll take a look because they. With second edition, they have like, I think they have three times as many warbands now. And the warbands compositions are different, because like before it was like $40 for five metal dudes, and then you had to buy additional blisters. Now it's $35 for 10 plastic guys and you're done.
Oh, okay.
Because Mercs does not have, like, every guy is unique and you can only use five models still. So when you buy the faction, you get the faction. Like, you get every model possible.
Yep.
So I want to look at the rule book. The rules are free. So I want to look, because one of my biggest gripes about Mercs was they had, like, the most obnoxious arc-based, like, line of sight thing. Their line of sight thing, like, I was watching two people play, and I was just like, ooh, that's really shitty. I don't think I want to deal with that. we'll see.
We'll see.
It's because he was talking about he wants to play a skirmish game, and he's like, he wants a really small skirmish game. And, like, I was kicking around all the ideas of, like, the various skirmish games I could think of, and I was just like, there is not a single one even remotely close to that price point.
Yeah.
35, like, it's literally $35 because the rule book's free. Everything in the game that you need to, everything that you need to play that isn't models is available for free. And your models are $35.
Yeah, I could see that.
I was just like, I got nothing. Like, there's not a single game I could think of that's even remotely close to that.
The only other thing I could think of would be, like, if you did some of the, like, Osprey skirmish, smaller scale skirmish games. Like, they have, like, that Steampunk one or the mm-hmm. Ronin one. Because you could get those figures cheap.
Right.
And the book is, like, $10.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Because he was talking about...
But also, those are more story-based campaigns.
Yeah.
Instead of just, like, I'm going to set up my figures and we're going to battle.
Right, yeah, this is mission-based. And one of the big changes for Second Ed is you bring all of your models, like, to the game. Like, you bring all 10 models, you see the scenario, then you pick the five you want to play. So we'll see. I mean, I'll give it a shot. As long as they fixed a couple of my key gripes with the first edition, I'll give it a shot with them. But that's still, I have to finish a shit ton of models before I'm even worried about getting other things. But it was just one of those things where he's like, hey, have you looked into this game? And I was like, I actually haven't looked at that game in a while. So it's fresh in my mind. That's why I was bringing it up. Because it's like, oh, that's right. I was looking at that.
Yeah, I'm going to look up. Speaking of Gen Con is next weekend. I will be going on a Thursday to Friday. I will not be doing the normal 3 to 4 days that I normally do, just because I was just like, fuck it. I need to take like a little bit of a break.
You're on my Fallout Wasteland Warfare mission.
I will. I'll take a look for it. If the line's long, fuck you. But
I doubt it'll be long.
Nah.
It's not a fantasy flight item.
Yeah. I mean, I...
See, because if you go there, everyone's going to be in the fantasy flight line. You'll be fine.
Yeah, but I guess it all depends on what they're... Fantasy Flight's putting out that week.
It doesn't matter. The mouth breathers will buy it to sell it on eBay.
Yeah.
Like, that's like half the reason people stand in the Fantasy Flight line is so they could go rush and put it on eBay. Like, when they dropped the L5R at Gen Con, there was, like, the day after Gen Con, there were so many L5R sets on eBay.
Yeah.
For grossly inflated prices because people wanted early.
Yeah. And, the only new game that I'm currently, I guess it's not even a new game, that I'm excited about is Dune. I want to pick up a copy of Dune so bad, but it's not going to be for pre. They're not going to have it at Gen Con.
Dune looks really good.
Oh, I'm so excited.
It looks really good. Well, you know, we played that game. We played the
Rex.
Imperius Rex.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, it was really good. And this is an updated version of Doom, which is built on that model. Like,
and it's,
that was an updated version of original Dune. And then this is another version of Dune that is an updated version of the Rex model. So, like, it's going to be even better.
Yeah. And it's Dune. Love Dune.
Yeah. The spice must flow.
Spice must flow. Walk with it.
What's it?
Sprint without rhythm.
That was a terrific game. One of the things I liked the most about it is that if there was no guesswork in, like, the way, like, fights worked. It was just like, yep, you're gonna win.
Yeah.
You're gonna lose. Like, it was a very, very well-designed game.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I felt it was very tight, and I also felt like it was very hard to determine the winner. Like, you could see who might win, but it was like always like it was up in the air of who was going.
Every turn, I would say the player poised to win kept changing.
Yeah, kind of. It's like, well, I mean, I think you ended up winning when we played, right?
No, it was one of the other teams.
It was one of the other teams. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, they ended up doing something or other that caused something.
Yeah, they had, like, a surprise win, basically.
Yeah, which was fine.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good game.
It's Dune.
But that's the thing, too. Like, if you if I'm surprised by who won a five-person multiplayer game, that's a good game.
Yeah.
Period. Like, that's a good game. Like, one of the things that sucks about a lot of multiplayer games is that, like, two or three turns in, you're just like, well, Bill's going to win.
So we're gonna play let's play Kingmaker.
And it's just like, I guess Bill's gonna win. So like, I guess my thing is I can try to make Bill lose, which means I'll in a lot of those games where you get into heavy kingmaking situations,
except Kingmaker, ironically,
it's like you can't win, and you're like, I cannot win this game. I've been put in a position where I can't win. So when you feel you can't win, what are your options? Well, you can either sabotage the lead player.
Sabotage.
Which, I mean, I guess is cool, but, like, you're still not able to win the game, so it's kind of like, eh. Or you can assist the lead player in winning the game. It's kind of silly. It's like, what's the point? Like, there should, if your game does not have a fundamental design that gives anybody the opportunity to win during the whole entirety of the game, like, I'll give you, like, if you can secure the win by, like, the last turn, sure. Like, that's fine. Yeah. But you should not be able to call the winner of a game, like, two turns in.
Yeah, and you have, but the only problem is that now that it's Dune and not Rex, I can't have, like, my funny animal furry people.
Can't have the turtle man.
Although, am a turtle man!
I'm sure one of the houses has future prediction, which will be the turtle man's power.
Well, yeah. That would be the Bene Gesserit, probably. Or I don't know. I have never played the original Dune.
Yeah, I've never played the original Dune either.
Yeah, but I've always wanted to.
I've just watched the David Lynch movie.
Well, yes, I've read the book and watched the movies, miniseries, and all that fun stuff.
Spice must flow.
And I'm super excited about the new movie, but I'm also...
Shai Hulud.
Wadib. My name is a killing word. You're going to get me started on this, and I don't want to get started on the Dune. So, yeah, the Dune will get some will be demoed. Who's doing that? Asmodee?
Gale Force 9
is doing the Dune relaunch, which is going to be exciting.
Yeah, it should be good.
Gale Force 9, just good, solid games.
Generally they make good games.
Yeah, not always games I want to play, but good, solid games.
Yes, I agree with that assessment. Yeah. I think that assessment is very fair.
Yeah, it's like if you're into Firefly...
The Firefly game's good.
It doesn't feel like Firefly, but it's a good game.
Yeah, it's a good game.
Spartacus was a good game.
Spartacus was fun.
Yeah. I always recommend Spartacus for anybody who's looking for
it. And it's hard to find now, so.
Is it really?
It's out of print.
Is it? I didn't know that.
Well, that's the thing with all, like...
I wonder if I sell.
If you see a licensed game, or if you know of a licensed game that you're interested in, and the game is good, you should just buy it as soon as you can. Yeah. Because if you wait, it's going to disappear, because licensing agreements run out. And then when it's gone, you get stupid price points on Amazon where it's just like, oh, this game that was $40 is now $230 on Amazon. Yeah. Cool.
Cool.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. What was the other one that they did that I really liked? Oh, the Star Trek Ascendancy.
Yeah.
I love that game. That game was great.
Did you get the Ferengi and the Cardassian expansions?
No, I did not. I haven't bought the game. I played it a couple times. Ah, okay. So. Big fan of the Star Trek Ascendancy. I just like being the Klingons. Just because I'm like...
I mean, they did a really good job of setting up the factions to play the way they're supposed to. Like, the Klingons win by killing shit.
Yeah. I would love to do, play Ascendancy at a Star Trek convention with people dressed as the fucking...
You have to be dressed as the...
In costume.
You have to be dressed as the race you're playing.
As dressed as the race you're playing. And I would like it to be, team-based. So that, you could, you have to make, decisions based upon, whatever have you. And then that's the way I would like to do it.
Nice.
Especially if I'm the Klingon and I'm just like, "Dok, dok, chick!" They're like, "No, we don't understand Klingon."
No, you're at a Star Trek convention. Two people are going to be like,
"No," two other people will be like, "The Hulk."
Yeah, exactly. And you'll have one dude dressed as the the classic Trek Klingon.
Yeah. "Hey." That was I probably talked about this in the cast before, but when I saw the Klingon Christmas Carol, that was my favorite part, was the fact that the Ghost of Christmas Past was actually the original series Klingon.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good that's a good touch.
I was the only one in the audience who laughed at that.
What?
I know. What do you expect? I'm actually wearing a Star Trek shirt today.
You are.
So
it looks like a microbrew microbrew logo.
No, it's a soccer logo.
Okay. Well, see, that would definitely
That's why it says Federation United on it.
Yeah. Soccer, dude.
Yeah. I agree. Football Americano is what I like to be calling it now.
Los Football Americanos.
Football Americanos.
Football Americano.
Actually, this is just football. Is that football Americano?
Football. That's just football. Football Americano is hand egg.
Yes. Football. Hey, remember how the World Cup is going to be in a city built by slaves in 200-degree weather?
So anywhere?
Well, no. Well, I mean, recently built by slaves.
Oh.
Yes. In 2020, it's going to be in Dubai. They're going to be playing soccer in the middle of a desert.
Ah, very good. So great.
So people all over Europe can have bragging rights because someone kicked the ball.
They're going to die.
You know who's won
They're
the world?
They're going to die of heat stroke.
You know who's won the World Series every time?
Germany?
America. World Series. America.
Oh, World Series? Yeah. Yeah. You mean the World Yes, I get it. The World Series, which is only played by teams from America.
A, and two previously from Canada. Granted, there's only one from Canada now, but... I always say they should open up a Mexico City MLB team. I think that'd be fantastic.
You know, the current NBA champions are from Canada.
They are. Yeah, but that's a basketball championship. It doesn't matter.
It's not the World Series.
All right. So one thing that we did know that Steve was previewed talking about was that the terrain rules in the General's Compendium are apparently awful.
Yeah, the General's Compendium reception has been lukewarm.
Yeah.
A lot of the points adjustments have not been... met with accolades.
I will counter on the point cost thing. It's that point costs are not there to make the game balance. The point costs are there to sell models.
Right. But even if you go with that, using the Beastman example, they nerfed a unit, left other things the same, so now no one wants to buy any of those units.
I'm not saying it's always a good way of doing it, but what they do is they say, like, oh shit, this set isn't selling, or no one is buying the set because in the game it doesn't make sense. So if we lower the point cost on these or raise the point cost on another thing, this makes this look much more
right. Buffs and nerfs are going to affect the sales of your models, period. Yeah. Which is fine, but if you only nerf, then people just don't buy the army.
Yeah,
like they just go, I'll just continue to buy Ungors.
Yeah,
like the only Beastman set that's selling are Ungors. It's like, oh okay, what do we do? I don't know, nerf this thing that isn't them. It's like, oh okay. And then people just keep buying Ungors. And it's not that Ungors are good. Ungors are just the best for the points. And, like, the big thing was, like, the Zangors on discs, like, they were de facto, like, the best. Because they were so much better than Minotaurs or anything else that
was close. Yeah, they could fly around, shoot.
And they were cheaper than Minotaurs. Now, they're the same price as Minotaurs. So, at the full, like, end of the day thing is, like, people will still just use the Zangors on discs. Like, because their decision to say, like, oh, well, we're gonna increase the points of Zangors on discs because that will make this other unit more appealing doesn't work because they didn't adjust the other unit's points.
Right. Yeah.
So they're still just bad. It's like, they're still not worth 40 points for their five. Like, they needed to have dropped them to, like, 25 points, whatever. That's all it is. And I don't think it's... I think that this is, like... Like I told you, like I was talking to you earlier about it, like I think that this is just a General's Compendium that is okay, and the previous ones have all been really good.
Yeah.
So in comparison, this one seems exceptionally bad. Although there were a few things that were like heinous oversights, like gnaw holes being illegal to deploy by the new terrain rules. Like Skaven literally can't play.
Yeah. So the new terrain rules are kind of silly, right?
They're bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one is using them. Like, I glanced at them and I was like, that looks kind of wonky. And then, like, every tournament I saw, there's like, we will not be using these terrain rules. And I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah, well, I mean...
and no one's going to use them. That's all. Like, that's the other nice thing about Warhammer is, like, it's not like Magic or, like, other games where, like, yeah, this is the rules now and you have to deal with it because it's TOs. So they could just be like, nah.
Well, and I know there is a big push for Games Workshop to make you use their terrain. I understand that. Their terrain is not always great, and it's very like, oh, you have eight pieces of terrain. Wonderful. Like, every board is going to look exactly the same because there's eight pieces of terrain on it. One of the things that, and I think you and I agree on this, is one of the things that we love about playing tabletop war games is having really fucking cool terrain, right?
Yeah, terrain
is
cool.
I mean, it doesn't always have to be, like, a cluttered table, but, I mean, like, you get some really nice fucking corner terrain or whatever, and you have a big open battlefield, fine, whatever, a couple trees stand.
Yeah, just have it look cool.
But just as long as it looks cool.
Yeah, I mean, Warmaster's like that. Like, Warmaster, like, really good-looking Warmaster boards are majority actually empty.
Yeah.
But, like, when you set up the terrain in a cool way, it looks awesome.
Yeah.
It also, like, makes sense when you're talking games like Warmaster and, like, classic rank-and-file Warhammer, because, like, that's where armies would fight.
Yeah.
They wouldn't fight in the woods. They would, like, find a fucking clearing and be like, this is where our armies are going to fight.
Yeah. That's exactly how they would do it. And but I mean, there's a problem when it's like Games Workshop is like, no, you have to use our plastic table and the terrain for this table. And it's like, everything looks the same. Not that it's bad looking, but it's kind of like, yeah, this all kind of looks the same. And it's not really my cup of tea. I don't like the fact that they're fighting over these crazy, like, pits of skulls and whatever else have you.
Well, I think having I think them doing the like, I think their smartest idea was absolutely having armies bring terrain.
Yes,
that is really good. That's a really good idea that gets them that achieves their goal of selling terrain kits and also gives players a cool piece of terrain to bring and like use. Like my Nurgle army, I've got fucking 8 of those fucking trees.
Yeah,
they're cool. They're awesome, and they're really good in the game. They're fun to play with. Like their game feel is really good.
Yeah,
I bought a bunch of fucking terrain from Workshop. Like. They got a bunch of extra terrain sales off me because, like, this is really cool. Sylvaneth Wildwood, same thing. Like yeah, you're going to buy that because it's awesome. Like, you don't want to not use your special rule.
Yeah.
So that's good. But pushing for, like, a lot of the more esoteric pieces of terrain, it's kind of like no one's going to buy that many pieces of terrain. Like, people want to build themed boards. That's the other thing, too.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I like to do is, like, all right, I'm going to do this theme board. This is the plan I'm doing. This is what I'm printing out. This is what I'm painting it. It's not going to be it's not going to be like greatly painted, but it's going to be really cool looking when it's all together on the table.
Right, which is why I like my favorite pieces of terrain that they've done for Age of Sigmar are, one, the Realm Gates, because they work on every single table. Doesn't matter what your table theme is, you can do Realm Gates because they're everywhere, which is cool. Mm-hmm. And that Archway, same thing.
The Ophidian Archway.
Yeah, the Ophidian Archway. Because, like, it's the same. Like, those are the pieces of terrain that I like the most because, like, yeah, you can do theme. And, like, I like that they do. I love the terrain they produce. It's all really cool looking. But it's like, there's got to be a coherency. Like, I don't want to, it'd be dumb to have, like, a bunch of, like, elven trees, and then suddenly there's, like, a fucking, like, two, like, chaos dwarf, like, forts. It's just kind of, like, weird. And it's like, well, that's what the terrain generator rolled.
Yeah.
And then also it's whack because no one's going to have that much extra terrain.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to have your table. And that's it. And you're going to have, you know, maybe two tables. Maybe two tables worth of terrain.
Well, I already have, like, 8 tables worth of terrain. But what I like to do is I like to make sure that it's very modular and it's not, like, my table has to be this static setup. Basically, what my tables generally are there's some pink foam that's laid on the table. Whatever the top is covering, usually it's felt or simulated grass or something like that. And then I have my couple pieces of terrain that I'll put up around there, and that's kind of the table.
But also, you have the itis.
I do have the itis. I have the dragon sickness.
So we can't
dragon madness.
We can't 100% rely on someone with dragon madness.
There was on the Reddit. For the subreddit for Age of Sigmar, some guy posted like his like picture, like, here's my current collection of just his books, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there, I'm looking, I'm like, that's quaint.
I used to have a shit ton of books, but I've been I've gotten rid of all of my army books, but I kept the storybooks, like Realmgate Wars and Quest for Galmaraz. I kept those, but I got rid of like the very because like the actual army books. They're all good, but they have a lot less
lore
than I had anticipated.
Yeah,
it's just most of it's like recap, like stuff you're on. Like the Iron Jaws lore book is like telling you about Iron Jaws, and it's like I already know that. Like, if you want cool Iron Jaws stories, you need to go into like Quest for Galmaraz, which is that like Iron Jaw war boss fighting against the fighting against Stormcast, and like that's where the story is. Great Red or whatever his name is.
But that's you have the
so those books are great.
Yeah. For me, my main collection now, I've parsed down a lot of my Games Workshop stuff. I get some of the older 40K stuff, and I'm talking like it's got to be Rogue Trader Edition 40K stuff that I have, but everything else is fantasy. I have nearly a complete fantasy collection all the way up to Age of Sigmar. I'm missing just a few things. I'm missing the box sets for the old like 5th edition box sets, like Perilous Quest and Idol of Gork. All of those, I'm missing those. Which, you know, if they pop up here and there, I'll buy them. I'm not, like, actively seeking them out. But I have all of the army books from 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th. I have all of the rule books. I have a lot of, like, the, like, Siege and all the crazy stuff that gets attached to it. Like, that's the stuff that I like and I have in my collection. I have the big End Time books, and I have an almost full set of Imperial Armor books from Forge World. But that's what I'm mainly collecting, but... It's a very, like, this guy's collection was all over the place. Like, I was kind of like, fuck you, because get a good, he had, like, 3 copies of Liber Chaotica, the old hardcover. And I'm like.
Of the same one?
Yeah. And I'm like, it's nice that you have it, but why do you have 3 copies? You don't need 3
That's
copies.
Weird.
Yeah. I mean, I have my copy, and I have a lot of the other copies, but it's like, I don't have multiple copies of anything.
That's just kind of odd.
Yeah.
The only books I ever have multiple copies of are things that I feel that I'm going to be like role playing. It's only ever role playing, and it's because like having like three players' handbooks is useful because when you're playing D&D, someone's like, "Can I need a player's handbook?" I'm like, "I also need the player's handbook." And like,
need the player's handbook.
Right. So then, rather than like waiting for player A to finish it, then give it to player B. Waiting for player B to finish it, giving player C. You go, player A here, player B here, player C here. They all look at the same time, find their shit in the player's handbook, call it a daisy.
Yeah, that's the basics on that. But yeah, I have And I never do doubles that much with the gaming stuff. The only time I ever have doubles is if it's something is available in hardcover and softcover. Like I have the 6th edition hardcover and I have a 6th edition softcover.
Yeah, well, softcovers that makes sense as well because I'll do that too. I'll have I have the Warhammer 4th edition leather-bound like super fucking high class fancy version, and then I also have the Warhammer 4th edition normal book. Yeah. Do that.
Like, you see my seventh edition collector set box set that I got, the big one that opens up, it's like the huge tome inside.
Oh, yeah. They came with the two orcs, right?
No, that's the Warhammer Online one.
Oh,
no, this
right.
is the Warhammer 7th edition like rule book that I got. And I was look, it's limited edition to like 2,000 copies. I don't think 2,000 people played 7th edition.
I'm pretty sure you're right.
I
have the book, the Warhammer RPG book I have, it's fucking nice as shit. Like, it's super nice. I'll do that if there's a special edition or something like that. Or if there's a hardcover, softcover, because I'd like to use the softcover because those are going to get, you know, beat to shit.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much. And then, I was like, this guy. Like, he doesn't know.
He's a rookie.
He doesn't know the Dragon Madness.
He's a rookie.
Yeah.
He's you know what he is? He's approaching the Horde. He's approaching the lair.
He had like 7 boxes of Isle of Blood, which I was kind of like,
no, that's legit because he probably has a huge ass Skaven army or something.
Well, I was like, but where's your Skaven army?
Yeah. Or Elf army.
Yeah. Well, you really can't do that much with the Elf army nowadays. Skaven, that box set is key, but.
It's true. You could do a... I think you get a lot of Seaguard in that set, don't you?
Yeah, but they nuked that list that made the Seaguard playable. There was the one War Scroll that let you make wizards and the Loth, the Swordmasters, part of the Swifthawk army. So they get the Swifthawk keyword. They nuked it, so it doesn't exist anymore.
There's gonna be the Cities of Sigmar. So expect a triumphant return of the elves.
That's the other big one. You got the Cities of Sigmar, and you got the Ogre book.
There's the Orc book.
There's gonna be
an Ogre book. It's gonna be called the Maw Tribes, and they're gonna stick all the ogres together.
Yeah, they'll put
it's the smartest and fastest way to bring the out of print, well, quote unquote out of print armies all up to speed at the same time, just making them bigger. Because that's what they did with the goblins.
Yeah.
The goblins were a bunch of like separate things. Now they're one thing.
Yeah.
Like
that you can pick and choose from.
Yeah. Skaven is the same. Like Skaven were separate. I mean, Pestilence had its own army book.
Yeah.
Irrelevant now. You have the Skaven book and it's got all of the clans
and
in one.
And it still behooves you to do like a specific clan because you get a lot of bonuses if you're doing a specific clan. Like same thing with Free Cities. It's going to be like, yeah, if you're playing just a dispossessed army, you're probably going to do fairly well. And if you're playing just a free people's army, you're going to do fairly well. But guess what? You can mix them all up.
Yeah,
you know?
Now there's going to be cool war scrolls for you to be like, yep, here's your grit. Take your like your dwarf thunderers, your empire greatswords, and your like high elf archers. Like that's a battalion now. Like that's a smart way to do it.
I heard that some of it is going to be that it's mostly going to be, from what I hear, the war scrolls are going to be specific cities. Now this is all this.
What makes sense? Like they Firestorm. I'd say Firestorm would be a good prelude to it because Firestorm has the cities and it has what's in the cities. So like the there's one
Anvil Guard and Sigmar's dick and
Sigmar's donger.
Sigmar's dong.
Sigmar's flaccid wiener.
That'll be the name of my free city. Sigmar dong.
Sigmar dong.
Yeah.
Sigmar dong.
Sigmar dong. Oh, really? What's it named after? Sigmar's swinging cock.
Yeah, Sigmar's flaccid wiener.
That's my Stormcast. the flaccid cock.
Their logo is just a limp wiener with a skull on the head.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Skull head. It's the hammerhead, but the handle is just the cock. Just come down. So.
Well, but that's not going to show the flaccidness of it. It'll be rigid.
If it's pointing downward, it's kind of flaccid.
I mean, you got to get kind of like the droop.
Well, you could still have a droop attached for it, but yeah, that's mostly what it's going to be.
All right, as long as there's the droop.
Yes.
I think the biggest thing, too, is for the ogres is the Maw Tribes should make Beastclaw Raiders playable.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they will.
Because Beast Claw Raiders are currently the worst army in the game by, like, a fucking mile. And it's... And the reason they're bad is because of just the game.
They need
rules like this for like their dude on Frostclaw like needs to be like counts as 30 models. Like that's basically what they need to put them in the realm of like playable. So hopefully the Maw Tribes book fixes all that.
I'm sure they will. I mean, you'll have the Maw Tribes, and then the only other book that we were talking about that they really need to update is Caradon Overlords.
Yeah, Caradon Overlords are also really bad. They're like one step above the Beast Claw Raiders in playability.
Yeah. The Witch Elves are actually pretty good. Daughters of Cain are still pretty good.
Oh, they're very good.
But they don't have, I believe they don't have terrain spells, right? They were released before the terrain spells.
They do not have terrain and spells, but they're a top tier army already. So they don't really need anything right now. I mean, they'll probably give them something, but like they do not need anything. They're very good right now. Yeah. They're one of the top tier armies in the game.
And then the other thing, and then pushing the lore forward for this edition of AOS is they're pushing the lore so that the Necroquake unleashed something from one of the vaults.
Yes, it opened the night vaults. The Cataphrane's curse.
Yeah, the Cataphrane's curse. So there's a rumor that it could be the Tomb Kings.
Well, I think it's going to be New Kings. All of the data for me, this is what it's pointing to. They're not going to do a Tomb Kings relaunch in the way that the Tomb Kings existed, because they have three undead horde armies already. Mm-hmm. They're not going to do that. That doesn't make sense from a lore perspective. It doesn't make sense from a fiscal perspective. They already have horde armies for the undead. Three of them. There's ghosts, there's skeleboners, there's ghouls. Plenty of that. They're not going to do that.
And, yeah, you said ghouls, right?
Ghouls, yeah. Yeah. Ghouls, ghosts, and skeletons. They have that. Done. However, with the Cataphranes being a thing, it could very easily be some sort of new aesthetic undead where they have, like, they had that dude on the boat for the spell, and I think he's the direction they're going to go forward with. So think of it like this: think of the Tomb
Undead
King
boat army.
Undead boat army. Yes, exactly. Except maybe not all boats, but like have like chariots, but they're on like that they're on that like ghost thing, and constructs, but they're going to be the Cataphranes, because I think the Cataphranes are going to end up being. I think the big reveal is that the Cataphranes are going to be the Tomb Kings.
Ooh.
I think that's the big reveal.
Ooh, my arm hair is standing up
because there was a specific name drop that Cetra still exists and is sleeping
in one of the night vaults.
So that leads me to believe that and the Cataphrane's curse is a big thing. What is the army that was most about curses? The Tomb Kings. That's what I think it's going to be. It's going to be like a. It's going to be a new.
Well, so here's the question, Steve. If that is the case, if what you're saying is like, let's say what you're saying is about 75% true,
mm-hmm.
would you drop all of your Nurgle to play this army?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. What about if it was like 50% true?
I don't know if I'd drop all the Nurgle in.
No. Yeah. Yeah. You'd wait and see.
Yeah, I'd wait and see.
But let's just say they say, without even seeing any of the models, they say, this is the return of the Tomb Kings.
I'll sell my Nurgle immediately. I will cease.
Not even that the Tomb Kings are the Cataphrades. It's just that this is the return of the Tomb Kings.
Immediately we'll sell my Nurgle army. Immediately.
Of course you would. You're such a sucker on that one. And you used to make fun of me with the squats.
Well, yeah, but I just made fun of you for having squats.
The squats are coming back, man.
The squats.
They've already released like two of them for Necromunda or
yes,
Blackstone
right.
Fortress.
Oh, the squats will come back as a kill team. That's my I 100% think that the squats are going to have a big. They're going to tease a big launch for the squats. The 40K player is going to be all like squats, and then it's going to be a kill team.
Squats.
Yeah, it's going to be a kill team. That's 100% what it's going to be.
Right. I look forward to reading the squat fiction that they put out.
Squiction. So that's what I think. I think that's going to be the aesthetic for the Cataphrane. So that like that boatman with like that like he's like on that like river of whatever.
Ooh, the river of ectoplasm.
Yeah. So I think that's going to be their.
It's a river of slime.
It's a river of slime. It's a great river of slime. you forget I was present in a mass sponge migration.
The sponges moved an inch and a half, right?
yeah, so that's what I think. I think that's going to be the case. And I'm interested to see.
I'm here's my I'm gonna put me
because they did say there's gonna like when they laid out their like plan like when the year began they said there's going to be a new undead army.
Yeah.
There's going to be a new destruction army. There's going to be a new order army.
Yeah. So for me, I'm gonna put my money down. I'm gonna put down some of the chips on the fact that the undead release for this year is going to be vampire counts. I've already said that before.
Yeah, you think it's gonna be the Von Karsteins?
I think it's gonna be the Von Karsteins. I think they're gonna bring Vlad back and maybe Isabella. They might probably put out the old kit for the Blood Knights. They might redo that. I think they might have plastic Blood Knights or something similar.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be like a martial vampire army. Because it's one of the only undead ones that they haven't really done anything with are the vampires. So you've done ghouls, ghosts, and skelebones. What are you missing? You're missing vampire counts. And you could still do a smaller army with vampire counts by doing like heavy elite, you know, vampire knights or the blood knights and things like that. So it's a blood knight centered army, with the vampire count riding the undead dragon or whatever that bat thing is, Terrorgeist. You could have that, but you know, doing it in plastic as opposed to the resin that it already is in the awful models.
No, the Terrorgeist is plastic.
Yeah, but I mean the blood knights.
Oh, blood knights. Yeah.
Those things are terrible.
Yes,
but that's what I'm going to put my money on. I don't know what else they would do with it. Probably have like skelebones as well. But it will be more.
They could do an elite army where they have vampire infantry.
They could. I highly doubt they would do that.
I mean, they could.
Yeah.
That would be like what I would like. So basically, like think of like their basic troops to be skeletons, and then instead of Graveguard, they would have vampires.
What I would probably do if I was Games Workshop, I would make it so that the army is the Graveguard is your core choice. Like, and that's, you know, yes, they're a little more. They're more expensive than the regular skelebones, yeah. But. That's the only one that you could have on the table.
I could see that.
Yeah. So you'd have smaller armies. And what's it? Not Hex Wraiths. It's the other one. The Black Knights. The Black Knights.
Yeah. Just the Graveguard on horses.
Yeah.
That's
so
Black Knights.
You'd see Black Knights. Maybe yeah. Black Knights would be your core unit.
Oh,
it would
be cool.
an all-mounted
army.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah, that'd be pretty fun, actually. Now that I'm thinking about
the Return of the Giant Bats.
Yeah. Oh, the Giant Bats are...
They could do a pretty good plastic kit with giant bats and bat swarms in the same box.
They could. That would actually be really sweet and really smart, but yep. They won't do that.
I mean, if they do an all-mounted, like, fast undead army, they would.
Yeah. Maybe you could do an alternate on the Black Coach as well.
Yeah. So we'll see. Yeah. Like I said, I have a gut feeling that the Cataphranes are going to be, like, the big reveal.
You know, and plus they don't have anything on the horizon in terms of, like, a new army coming out. Like, so a lot of the stuff that they're doing is updates on older stuff. You know, we could see. Maybe there'll be some hints in the Free People's book or whatever book they're going to release first on what's going
to come
out.
Yeah, I mean, the key to having a successful relaunch to, like, the Tomb King style is they just need to not do another Horde army. That's all.
Yeah. No, you're right. And have it be a little more fanciful and goofy, like what they did with the Idoneth.
Yeah.
The Sea Elves.
Just push the limit, because people love that army. And it's whack. Like, that army's totally... I mean, I love that army, but it's whack. Like, it's like fucking flying eels and shit.
I don't like that army at all, but I've talked about that before.
Yeah, but still, like, but that army, like, that's pushing the design in a way that people did not expect, and people responded very positively.
Yeah.
That army sold a fuck ton of kits.
They're like, I'm gonna ride on a shark! Shark!
The shark, unfortunately, sucks, but it's not good.
Yeah. The giant turtle, though.
The giant turtle's very good.
Yeah.
Like for as bad as the giant, like, for as bad as the giant shark is rules-wise, the turtle more than makes up for it.
And then, so the last big thing is that season 3 of Underworlds was announced. Beastmaster, I think is what it's called, something like that. It's,
I don't follow Underworlds anymore.
Beastmaster.
Also, James posted something on our Facebook page that I couldn't see, so he might have deleted it, but it was about, I guess, the next set of champions is going to be digital only.
Yeah, I saw that. It's going to be digital only. They're not going to print out the cards until they have, like, the kinks fixed out. I guess that's what it's going to be. But, yeah, I don't know for sure on that one. The, here, it's got to be around here somewhere. Oh, here we go. Beastgrave. That's what it's called.
Beastgrave.
I'd prefer it was Beastmaster, and they just had a guy with, like, squirrels in his pants.
I like it. I like it. Yeah. Squirrel pants. And his special rule is squirrels in me pants.
So the main change that they're doing with this one is there's an aesthetic change. It's no longer going to be in, the city.
Yeah, they've escaped.
They've escaped.
But the curse of the Cataphranes continues.
So it's gonna be, I think there's more of, like, wooded tiles this time. It seems like it's gonna be woodland. A beast fancy. There's going to be some sort of like wood elves. They're looking like there might be a Wanderers band inside the main box. Mm. It, from the previews that they showed, it looks like there's going to be some sort of centaurs. Whether they're good centaurs or bad, or centigors, which would be fun because it'd be the first plastic centigors that they released.
So, it'll just be one, though.
I know, but you know that Beastmen players are gonna be like.
Well, I think they have a. I think the centigors have a character. I think there's like a
Gorehoof.
Yeah. So like you could.
I have him.
Could be that.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. But I mean, it's gonna be cool that they'll have like an actual Beastman warband in there. It's gonna be Beastman, probably Wood Elves, as I said. But there's also rumored to be a Deepkin warband as well. But who knows what else they're going to do.
Minotaurs.
They're
going to do a Minotaur warband.
That would be cool. But, you know, they want to get a lot of different stuff out there. So we'll see. It could be whatever have you. I would like them to see a little more old school. I'd like to see, like, a Free Peoples, Wanderers, Dispossessed. You know, like that style.
Goblins, spider goblins.
Spider goblins.
They're in the woods. I'm trying to think of like anything I can think of that's wood-based and be like spider goblins or like a savage orc slash spider goblins.
Yeah, that could work as well.
They could do ogres. There was like the rumor of the ogre warbands around for when it was going to be two ogres. It was going to be two man-eaters. That was the ogre rumor for a long time.
I would appreciate it.
Like two man-eaters was going to be that one.
Whoa, here she comes.
She's a man-eater. Trying to think. I don't know. I mean, is the game still going? People still playing it?
Yeah, people still playing it. Still going. Doing well. I know that you don't play it, so you don't. It's a very common theme amongst us that if we don't play it, the game doesn't exist anymore.
It's banished from my sight.
I still like playing it. I still think it's a solid game.
It's been banished from my eyes.
I think that Molag was really a threat for a while, but I think the countered Molag armies have done well. He hasn't placed that high right recently, but he's still a top tier. Warband. Molags is strong.
The troll.
Yeah, that's the troll. What's the other one? People are really... The Dryads right now are the one that a lot of people are playing and winning with. They have a very solid play scheme.
The Ghost Treeman?
Ghost Treeman, yeah. So that's what's going on there. So, I mean, it's not... Right now, the meta is pretty stale because everyone's just waiting on Season 3 to drop.
Yeah.
And on that one. And I am, too. And they're waiting for Dreadfane as well. That's going to... come to it's gonna be like the big box one version.
Oh, okay.
So you know the what's Blitz Bowl, is that what it's called?
Blitz Bowl is the big box Blood Bowl.
Yeah. Blood Bowl. So this is gonna be the big box version of the game. But what's interesting is that it comes with two new warbands that are gonna have cards for it,
mm-hmm.
which no one else will. So you could buy that just for those two warbands and continue to play them inside of your actual, which goes all the way back to when they were announcing. AOS 2, when I was like, these figures that they're releasing on the side, these are Shadespire warbands. So, guess what? Now they are Shadespire warbands.
Yeah, the models that were clearly like, these are not starter set models because they have scenic bases.
They have scenic bases. Yeah,
they're like the only models in the starter set with scenic bases. Like that's kind of weird. Like here's why. Double duty.
Exactly. So it'll be interesting to see. I think this one and I think it goes along with what they're doing in Warcry is that. To use like all these other beasts and animals inside the game, mm-hmm. So you're going to see that a lot more in Shadespire, and I guarantee you they'll probably end up bringing stuff like that into actual AOS gameplay. Because we were talking about the mercenary companies, and it's like, and I was sitting there thinking like, how come with the announcement of these mercenary companies, Games Workshop didn't put out some sort of package deal where it's like, buy this mercenary company, you know? It's like you get this, and this. It gives you like. You know, whatever they're 2% off that they normally do, that everyone's all like 2%. But yeah, it's like I'm wondering why they didn't do that, and it would have been great to see that for the release, and have that taken care of. But whatever,
they can always do it later.
Yeah, they're Games Workshop; they do what they want.
Yep.
All right, so that's about it for today. Is there any other gaming news that I need to bring up?
New Magic set, Throne of Eldraine.
Oh.
Looks very cool. They have a very interesting aesthetic for their new...
Will this one be a bigger hit than the last one? Because the last one was insane.
War of the Spark was gigantic. This will probably be... I don't know. We'll see. Because the new... They spoiled a card, but they only spoiled its casting cost and its card template.
Okay.
And it looks very bizarre because the front of the card, it looks like a normal Magic card, except...
Was it JoJo's Bizarre?
Yes.
It is I, Dio.
It looks like a normal Magic card, except halfway through the card, it, like, stops, and it looks like two little storybook pages, and there's another casting cost down there. And yeah, people have no idea what the fuck it is. And I was just like, I have no idea. Like, because it looks like, basically they released something that, like, all you can do is speculate. Because it's just like, there's a, like, because the one part with the casting cost does measure out to be exactly the same size as the top right corner of a card where the casting cost is. So, like, are these something you're going to overlay on top of another card? Like, no one has any idea.
Oh.
And there's some sort of storybook thing. So I believe there's some, it's like a, the, this world, Eldraine appears to be like D&D by way of Grimm's Fairy Tales.
Oh.
So there's like knights and chivalrous things, but there's also like fairies and like weird, like Goldilocks shit. So people are pretty hyped about it. There's a new product release called the Collector's Booster, which is like a $20 or $25 booster pack, but you get like a guaranteed mythic or rare and like foil alternate art, a whole bunch of shit. So people are about that. Like the response is like, and it's to replace the mythic edition. So I don't know if anyone who follows Magic, but the last two releases they've had this thing called the mythic edition, which is you get a complete set of these foil mythics, which are not from the set. They're like specific characters highlighting. Their value is usually very, very high. The mythic edition is a $240 booster box. The value of those cards that are guaranteed is generally at least $240 or more. And then on top of that, you get the booster packs, the extra good ones. Now, the first time they did this, they said it was only going to be available via Hasbro Direct. So stores didn't get it, distributors didn't get it. The only way to get it was to be a player and go on to Hasbro and buy it when the pre-order time came. The traffic crashed Hasbro's website, so a shit ton of people didn't get it. It just didn't work out. It was bad, horrible PR. A bunch of people didn't even get a chance to buy it. They were super dissatisfied. Maybe I would have liked to buy this thing, but your fucking website broke. So the next try for this Mythic Edition is they're like, well, we're going to do it on eBay, and we're going to have this many available for sale on eBay. So they said they were going to sell 12,000 or 8,000 boxes. That's how many they were going to sell. So it goes live on eBay. People are just buying, limit two per person. People are just buying it left and right. I'm seeing, exploding all over my social media. People are like, I got two. People are like, oh, this is great. I got two. And I'm just like, I'm just watching it. I'm like, this seems too successful. And sure enough, they fucked up and they sold like 60,000 boxes instead of the 8 or 12,000 that they were actually making. So they refunded 48,000 people or whatever, and people were understandably pretty pissed. So they had to send out, if you didn't get it, they sent you out a foil uncut sheet of the set. They sent that to you, and the best part is that this apology being lukewarm in general, a bunch of them showed up super fucking damaged to people, so it was just a shit show altogether. So now there's no Mythic Edition for Throne of Eldraine. There's this collector's edition, and this collector's edition is going to be coming out through normal distribution channels, and you have to be a WPN store to sanction it. You get a limited amount of the product. People are going to come into your store and buy it. And I 100% believe that this is done because of all of the foibles of Mythic Edition.
Well, there you go.
So,
and now we know. That was a tale. That had some like twists and turns, and it took us in different directions all around.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
I don't know if I'd go pretty funny, but it was definitely
it was funny to me.
A tale of woe.
It was funny to me because
Juliet and Romeo.
I had to have a bunch of people complaining to me about the fact that Wizards is trying to cut out, stores. They say oh, our backbone is the stores, and then they constantly do things that just spit in that concept's face.
Well, as always, as I've been saying, Hasbro has no idea what to do with Wizards of the Coast.
Yeah.
Wizards of the Coast knows what they're doing. Hasbro has no idea what to do with Wizards of the Coast.
Like, there was the D&D Essentials box set. It's a Target exclusive from June to, September.
Yeah.
So, only Target has it. And, of course, all the retail stores I have are like, I guess I'll get some, but, it would have been nice to have that before fucking Target.
Yeah, exactly. Also, one thing for Gen Con. Guess who's going to be at Gen Con this year?
You?
Well, besides me. Soda Pop is going to be there. Yeah,
they bring in Kevlar. It is Indiana.
It's true. That is Indiana. No, as far as I know, though, they will be there. And it'll be interesting to see how that's going to go.
All right.
Yeah. What they should have is they should have just like a box full of figures, like limited edition figures that you go up there and you make a complaint. Like, where the hell's my Kickstarter? They just give you a figure and say, it is coming.
You know what? And, you know what? This could be. So if they found funding and haven't announced it yet, this could be a triumphant. That would be a triumphant way to reveal it, because you just have your limited figure. So you just have a dude standing at the booth that's just a soda pop, and there's a box next to him. Anyone who comes to him is like, "Hey, what's up with the Kickstarter?" He just reaches in the box, pulls out a figure, and hands it to you, and then like waves you off. And then on the bottom of the figure is just a date.
That would work.
And you'd be like, "Oh shit."
Well, I mean, I think there's still a lot of people upset about all the other Kickstarters that fell through that they're not paying for.
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to the one I think they're still doing. For the new box set. But who knows? Who knows what's going to happen there?
It's production, man. I feel their pain.
Yeah.
But I see, you know, Kickstarter's rough. You know, you can't do these huge production changes, because it's like the guys who do the razor thin Kickstarters, and then suddenly by the time they're ready to produce, all of their shipping costs have changed. So now they're going to lose $10,000 instead of make any money. And they're like, oh, sweet.
Yeah. Speaking of Kickstarter, last thing before we're done, the new Kickstarter for the 3D printable terrain, printable scenery, has come out. I've been pumping these guys for a while, and I put them on Facebook as well. They have a new one called Clorehaven. I don't know why. I think it has to do something with like Click, because it's based off the Click style of terrain. This is the
Click?
Yeah. It's so basically, it's got the walls that have like little connectors, so you can connect walls together.
Okay.
Dragonlock is, I think, what they're generally called.
Dragonlock.
But these guys did the Dwarfs, Elves, and Demons Kickstarter last year, or not even last year, like around winter or whatever of last year, and it was fantastic. So this is their next one after that. They're doing actual city, like with interlocking terrain, so you could build your own houses and things like that, and they're giving you templates for a bunch of different buildings. And then they're also doing Goblin Grotto, which is a cool underwater, in a cool like underground maze style building, and it's some fantastic shit that they're putting out there. So if you're a fan of 3D printing and stuff like that, this is a great Kickstarter to pick it into, and it's cheap because it's based on the New Zealand dollar, which we're like super strong against. So you can actually get all these files for fairly cheap.
Do their dollars have kiwi birds on them?
Do their I'm assuming that they're.
I love kiwi birds.
I think it's just a. It's just a picture of Taika Waititi
holding a kiwi bird.
Yes, holding a kiwi bird.
Yes.
Stupidest bird known to mankind.
I fucking love kiwi birds. How can you say that?
Because they're stupid.
No, they're not. They're beautiful creatures, and I love them. There's a great video of a kiwi bird finding food that there's like, because you know there's conservation efforts.
Yeah, because so they're a dumb bird that's becoming extinct.
Silence. I will not have you disparage the beautiful kiwi. They have they put out like feeder things to help them, and like there's a kiwi bird who found it, and they have video, and like the kiwi bird finds the food and is like jumping up and down, super fucking excited, and then just eats it, fucking delicious.
And then
I hope a
non-indigenous rat came and ate it right afterwards.
You're a non-indigenous rat.
It's true. Go to Planet Arbitrary. Oh, damn it.
You did it again.
Go to the Game Classy Podcast Facebook page for the best way to help out and the best way to get in contact with us, to talk with us, see whatever news we find interesting and so on and so forth. Memes, goofy shit. That's the best
way.
Rock
of Eternity.
Yeah, the Rock of Eternity. Do you smell what the Rock has cooking? That's the best way to help us out. You could also listen to us on the YouTube. YouTube has all the episodes up. That's usually where we get most of our trolling comments. We don't get that many comments, but all the troll ones come from YouTube.
That makes sense, because it's YouTube. Like, have you seen a YouTube comment section?
You can also like, comment, subscribe on the iTunes. That's probably the best way until iTunes disappears. I'm trying to get us onto Spotify, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. That's a shame.
Yeah.
Send them lurid pictures of yourself and be like, there's more where this came from if you got us on Spotify.
There's also, you can listen to our sister podcast. You have Shin Play on Neo.
Shin Play on Pod Neo.
Shin Play on Pod Neo.
And Deconstructing Daycare.
And Deconstructing Daycare. Speaking of Shin Play on Pod Neo, I started watching JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It's pretty weird.
It's, As soon as they started talking about some of the characters' names, I got really mad.
You didn't know.
I was like, this is the dumbest thing ever. It was REO Speedwagon that pissed me off the most.
Speedwagon.
I was like, the Zeppelin guy and stuff. I was like,
Zeppelli? Yeah.
Zeppelli. This is dumb.
The series creator is a huge Westaboo.
Yeah.
He loves Western music and stuff.
And that's why I found out about The end theme music, Roundabout, yes. I'm like, so that's why Steve likes Roundabout. Is this the finale of this?
Well, I already liked Roundabout. And then, like, I was like, because as soon as that first episode they started playing it, I was like, is that fucking Roundabout? And I'm like, it is Roundabout.
Good old progressive rock.
The first season is very weak, by far. Like, this is the weakest. But luckily, they actually, it's very short in terms of convert. Because for the most part, that David Production, who did the anime, did a really, really good job of, like, not missing anything from any of the manga series, with the sole exception of the first one, because the first series is by far the weakest, but also the first series was done in the 80s and is basically, like, he's doing his own thing, but he basically is just ripping off Fist of the North Star.
Yeah.
Like, the Sunset Overdrive Rush, like, it's basically just the fucking Fist of the North Star punch thing.
And it's got the one thing that I absolutely fucking hate about anime, when they sit there and talk about some mystical energy or power, and they're always referring back to it. Like, if I just channel my Hamon, are they talking about ham?
Here's the best thing about that. Hamon is only in the first and second season.
Yeah.
And then it's gone. They never mention it again.
It's the dumbest thing ever. Yeah. I hate it when animes do that and they talk about, like, I need to charge my ham in order to get to work.
The first and the second seasons are okay, but, like, the show really hits its stride in the third, because that's when they start doing stands, which is, like, almost all the memes, you know, all the memes and stuff come from part three and forward, because that's when they start using their stand powers, which is basically like, if you've ever seen Persona, Persona's basically aping JoJo's, where it's just like you have like, it's like an astral projection of like your inner power, and they all have like a gimmick special ability, and it's like, how do you overcome this person's stand's gimmick? Like, one is like, he can control the sun, so like the sun is super hot and they're like, we can't go out into the light because the sun's so hot it's burning us, how can we overcome this challenge? And that's what it is. But it said the season two is pretty good though, because it's because they fight Nazis, which is cool, but it gets really good at three.
All right then. So,
but one is the weakest, and do not judge the show on one.
I'm not judging. The show is fine. It's anime. It's like whatever. It's Japanimation.
Sure,
that's fine.
It's Japanimation.
So, Steve, until next time.
Oh, the gentle caress of a summer breeze.
This is appropriate for the end of the summer as well.
The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea.
Game Classy.